B-Pod Studios.
Don't miss a thing.
What are you going to do?
On your phone or tablet.
Are you listening to me?
Get the latest stories or download a podcast. Podcast 98.5 The Sports App. That's an app. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
This guy helping to direct traffic says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This was our spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
To me, it looks like a leprechaun to me. All you got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
It's still to this day the greatest thing the internet has ever provided.
Well, that man who was going to take a backhoe and find the gold did just that. That was the head of a major hedge fund.
There's like 15 things in that one story that are just astounding. Well, and every year, a different thing makes me laugh harder than the rest. And this year, it is the gentleman who's taking this very seriously who goes, my theory is, it could be a shadow. It's being cast upon another limb. Like, in the middle of all of this just ridiculousness about a leprechaun being in a tree, there's a guy
there was a meeting
very
of the
scientifically.
Minds. Yeah, there was a meeting of the minds. All right, we all know there's no leprechauns.
Right.
We got to figure this thing out.
let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I mean, people are running around. I mean, there's chaos in the streets. We got to be the voices of reason here.
Also, the person directing traffic into, like, an empty cul-de-sac, like, there's no traffic, and the guy's like, don't be afraid. Don't just, like, a car just driving by.
Oh, it's Everett. It's like, it's absolutely Everett.
Right. The Alabama leprechaun story, it would not surprise me if in some alternate universe, that was a bunch of guys standing outside of a place in Everett.
Oh, sure. Hey, look at that tree.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I went to go see. I had to run across three lanes of traffic.
I got a leprechaun in my pocket.
Tell me those banner guys couldn't have done the same things that they would have probably tried to charge admission.
I saw Bigfoot. He looked at me right in the eye.
Just look right over here. You know, you wouldn't have to run across three lanes of traffic.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Right, the Everett Leprechaun.
Guy's great. The Everett Leprechaun.
You should just, Bird, just paint yourself green and hide in a tree. I just have your buddies, like, call the news, and you've got the Everett Leprechaun ready to go. That is totally something that could happen there, without a doubt. But yeah, I mean, every year there's a different part of that makes me laugh even more.
Yeah,
without a doubt. But I don't know if you saw it this weekend. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, there was a special guest that showed up to the Bruins game. Did you get to see any of this?
I did, and I thought, oh, hey, here's a felon. that is running around having fun.
Well, he took someone's phone and smashed it.
Yeah, good guy.
I mean, listen,
he also threw stuff at a bus and got arrested for that.
Yeah, he did that, but that was
he's also not good at what he does for a living. But okay,
he's not good at what he does.
No, McGregor's no good anymore.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's not good.
He's still a good fighter.
No, he's not.
He's the most marketable star the MMA has.
I didn't say that.
I'm talking about the MMA. I agree with you. He is not the dominant force he used to be.
Oh, he's not as good as he was, but to say he's a bad fighter is not true.
Someone from the MMA calling if he's a top 10 fighter.
There are better fighters than him out there, but he is far and away the most marketable star the MMA
has. Well, he is the MMA. I mean, because it used to be him and Ronda Rousey were the MMA.
Right.
And now that she's gone and doing whatever she's doing, he's the guy. Like, he's the face of it. Matter of fact, if you were to go...
Whatever she's doing. Have you not watched Raw recently?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong
with
you?
She's breaking the fourth wall on Raw.
I thought she left Raw. Oh, I have no idea.
Make me laugh.
Calm down, Jay Stu.
Yeah, she left Raw. Blah, blah, blah.
To work, stupid.
Get back to talking about leprechauns.
Well, it was kind of great. There was a moment. I mean, you know, of course, Conor McGregor showed up, but he was extremely fired up.
Did you
up.
See Bergeron after the game when he went up to Bergeron? And Bergeron's like, dude, I'm tired.
Well, okay. So let's get to that.
He's so happy. He's running around the locker room. He's like, yeah.
Well, Conor McGregor's on fire. He's obviously selling his whiskey, you know, Irish proper or whatever it's called.
Right.
And like early in the morning, he had been in Chicago. So he was at the St. Patrick's Day parade a day before St. Patrick's Day in Chicago and then flew to Boston to, of course, be in the St. Patrick's Day parade yesterday. But meanwhile, he was at the Bruins game, threw down the puck. But at one point, he goes in and tries to fire up the Bruins in the locker room. And by the way, they seem happy to see him.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also professional athletes getting ready to play a game, and here's how it sounded.
Yeah, boys, it's an honor for me to come in here and drop this book for you. I'm going to drop it, and yous are going to take it. Yous are going to take it and put it through the opposition net at 300 miles an hour. And if anyone's in the way of that net, you're going to put them through the net also. Let's go get it, boys.
And at one point he goes, when I say Boston, you say strong. Boston, they go, strong. Boston, strong.
Well, after the game, it was pretty funny because he came up to Marchand, and Marchand was like, okay. And then he went up to Krejci, and Krejci looked at him like, who are you? And then he went up to Bergeron, and Bergeron just looked like he was about to sleep and just put his hand out. And it's not McGregor's fault because he came in like, you know, all full of pee and vinegar.
Oh, he was fired the F up.
Yeah, he was going crazy. And then these guys are just saying, I'm exhausted.
Him and Chara actually talked for a little bit. And I read a little bit what they talked about. And, you know, his dad was a Greco-Roman wrestler. I mean, the guy's like an Olympic wrestler.
Oh, yeah. He used to take him, like, in a shed and stretch him out.
Yeah, so, like, Chara was legitimately fascinated with what Conor McGregor does. And, of course, it got a bunch of people talking, like, you know, who would be able to win in a fight? Would it be the Zdeno Chara, Conor McGregor? And to that, you just say, I mean, Conor McGregor would... He's trained to fight. That's what he does.
Well, now, Chara's trained to fight.
Not like Conor McGregor.
I like Chara in that fight.
Chara versus Conor McGregor?
Yes.
You see, I think that it would be fun to watch. And matter of fact, they asked even all the Bruins. And they're all like, dude, that would be something I would love to see. Because Chara has a full foot on Conor McGregor.
And about 100 pounds. Size. Yes, and 100 pounds. And if he can keep Conor McGregor... Oh, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
but it's kind of funny, right?
I don't have a problem with it, but he would have such a reach that McGregor would never get to him. And if Chara hit McGregor full... I mean, McGregor couldn't take that shot.
McGregor's so fast, though. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, he's very fast, but you can't say Chara doesn't train to fight. I mean, he trains to fight on skates.
But he's not a professional fighter. You know what I mean? And I think that's the difference. But either way, the one thing that from them talking back and forth that was kind of revealed was that Zdeno Chara kind of slipped it out there that, you know, when hockey's over, he would love to actually try to maybe possibly dabble in the world of fighting. That would rule. Could you imagine that?
It would be like old school when, like, Gracie would fight a giant lumberjack. Yeah.
The first 5 years of the UFC.
Yeah.
When it was just like, it was like the movie, it was like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, or
one guy would, like, yeah, people weren't well-rounded. It would be, you know.
The weight classes weren't the same, you know.
Yeah, it was like a freak show. Yeah.
I mean, that would be phenomenal. And now with the whole weight class thing, it would be tough to find a guy who would be able to take on Zdeno Chara, because the person would probably just be like some big built guy, but he'd be like a foot shorter than him.
Yeah. And then I guess you could go low on him, but Chara just wants to work out, man.
That's all he wants, to work out and dominate.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
Although, did you see Brad Marchand after he scored the game-winning goal in overtime?
Yes.
He did the Conor McGregor
thing. He did
thing
the walk, yeah. Like that, yes, indeed. Which, he did indeed.
Swagger. He's got that swagger.
He's got that swag! All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Speaker in your home or office, just say, "Hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow The Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Flipped up top, here's Jones, and scoots by him, and Marchand's going to beat him to the puck.
Jones doesn't have much in the tank.
Left of the net, Marchand, right out in front. Bergeron was waiting for it, slapped aside. Bergeron's got it. Right circle, Marchand, he scores! Brad Marchand sizzles in a shot from the right circle.
It's best to get out, but in certain situations you have no option. You must. For me, I am civil to everybody I come across, but I certainly, most certainly have a plan to kill everybody in this room and make my exit if need be. So just have your plan laid out. Be safe. Be aware. Self-defense is about awareness.
If you were to kill John Wallach, how would you do it? This man right here with the glass.
A very civil man. You wouldn't want to do that to me. That isn't nice.
I don't know. I'd probably just run through him real quick.
Would you break his glasses?
Nope. I'd leave him last.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, though. I'll kill him last.
There you go. Thank you.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, of course, was St. Patrick's Day. And it was Purim. What'd you do for Purim, John?
Let's see. I was carting my kids around to separate practices. Didn't do anything for Purim.
Did you do anything for St. Patrick's Day?
No.
You know, Purim is a great festival, a Jewish tradition.
What did you do for Purim, Fred?
The kids went to Hebrew school and they got their Purim on.
Fantastic. It's been a while since I've gotten my Purim on.
Yeah. I mean, balloons, the whole nine.
Wow.
And while you're just sitting there turning your back on religion, because
yes,
I was at a guy's house yesterday, first date, and he says he went to this Camp Bucharest, and that they played Young Judea.
Yep.
You're about the same age.
He went to Bowercrest?
Bowercrest.
Yes.
And he said that they would play Young Judea.
Every year. Yep.
And that it was just a complete ass kicking every year.
The one year I played on the Camp Young, if you really want to get into this, the Camp Young Judea softball team, starting center fielder here,
okay,
we beat Bowercrest the one year.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true.
All right. Because this, he was telling me.
The mammoth upset. Domination. It was the only time we beat them in like a decade span. So, yes, I was there on the field that day.
Yeah. And you know, and Rich, you're familiar with this, Southeast Newton. And the North Newton.
Yeah, it's a major difference, isn't it, Fred?
It's really like the wrong side of the tracks. There's a train that rolls through town.
It's the wrong side of the Whole Foods.
There's Whole Foods in both areas.
Mm-hmm. One's a little seedier than the other.
Well, one's got crack addicts in front of it.
Of course, right.
But, there was an all-star game.
You roll up your windows when you're in South Newton.
Right.
You're like, whoa.
Well, I mean, everyone's got...
The panhandlers asked for 50s instead of 100s.
Those guys got... They got jump... Panhandlers. I didn't... I mean, the panhandlers in North Newton. What are you not going to make any money?
They're right. They'll take PayPal.
They have their own machines. You can swipe the credit card.
You just Venmo the guys.
Right. There, despite your hysterical shots, there was a very special moment. My son played an all-star game, and it really brought the two sides together. There was one side, they smelled, and they obviously had not bathed.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then there was the south side, which full of physicians and great thinkers. And but during that game... Like that episode of 90210 where David went to the school and rapped.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone for only an hour came together.
Yeah,
it was truly a magical.
How did they come together? Like what were they doing together?
Well, it was controversial, but they mixed the kids up. Like the kids, because it was all of Newton.
They usually do that when one team's not that good.
No, it's all.
They do that to make it fair.
It was all star teams. They were both good. So, but they mixed up the kids from regardless of what part of Newton they were in. And at the end, I mean, everyone was shaking hands. It was really something to see. And in this culture we're currently in of the haves and the have-nots and the rhetoric that gets spilled around.
Sure.
For just that hour.
Yeah. Those kids that have been ridiculed for their parents only having a 2017 BMW. Instead of a 2019.
Well, listen. Listen. I'm sitting there with a one car garage. I don't think that I haven't had my house spray painted.
Yeah, you tagged, were you?
Yeah, get another garage. As I walk through the what they say. Get another garage. Your vehicles in the driveway are an eyesore.
How come you don't have
that's
a plow guy?
That's right.
Wallach's got one.
That's right.
Yeah, get a plow guy. No, I have the lady across the street who, God love her, she's very, very old. But she makes sure you don't get one little speck of snow on that road. She's out there looking out the window, and she ain't pleased.
If you actually throw, like, a shovel full of snow.
Oh, a shovel full of snow would be anarchy.
Really?
Yeah, no.
What happens if you just left it there? What would happen?
Cars would run over and it would eventually melt.
Well, what would she do? Would she call the police on you?
No, she's real old, so I never, like, talk back to her. Like,
right.
You know, it's like an old lady. I'm not going to, you know, be mean to her.
No, but I mean, inadvertently, some snow winds up in the street.
I figure that... Listen, this is what she's got going on today.
I understand.
Like, you know, yes. she's gonna bust me for a little bit of snow. I'm not heartless. But, you know. So I just wanted to say that if people are having a rough day and, you know, they read the news. The news.
Yeah.
That there is hope. All right. So you did not go to the Southie Parade.
No, I did not go. I think the last time I went was, it would have been about 8 years ago because Hank was like 2 at the time. And I think that was the moment I was like, all right, I'm going to wait until they're much, much, much older to come back to this because it is chaotic. But I went there every year up to that point and it's a blast. I mean, before I had kids, I was like you basically, as it's almost the way Everett is described. You can just walk into anyone's house with the doors open and everyone's like serving drinks. There's people drinking on the street. As a matter of fact, I've always thought it was ridiculous that the city of Boston enforces the open container laws in Southie during the parade.
Because you might as well just bring a semi-truck.
Well, I read something yesterday. So here are the arrests that came out of the South. It said Boston police arrested 3 people for charges ranging from disorderly conduct to minor possession of alcohol during Sunday's parade. However, there were 88 citations given out for public drinking. Why are you even giving out citations? Like, why do you need to do that?
You don't. It's a complete waste of time. Especially in an environment like that where crowd control is the major thing. Make it not as violent.
Yeah.
I mean, you're there to, like, keep the peace, now, literally.
I used to think that the Southie Parade was the height of like insanity when it came to being out in public and being drunk and doing stuff like that. And maybe it's just after we've had all of these championship parades, this doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. As a matter of fact, I read this morning that 1 million people went to the Saudi parade. And I'm like, a million people, that's a dinky one.
Went to the Saudi parade?
According to the article I read this morning, they said 1 million people showed up to that. Dude, it's huge. It's massive, and it's one big just drinking. It's a drink fest. But yesterday when I saw people tweeting photos of guys on the roof, like climbing off the side of the building, I'm like, dude, I saw 10 times worse a month ago at the Patriots parade. So am I completely wrong? Has the Southie parade, like, has
jumped
it
the shark?
No, I don't want to say jump the shark. It's not jump the shark, but
it just pales in comparison.
It used to be the wildest thing that you could see. Without go like as far as like public gathering outside of Mardi Gras, like it was just absolute right. debauchery, throwing up, fights, people going crazy. And now I don't know if we've just become accustomed to seeing that every few months when a team wins a championship, or has it completely lost that? I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. If you were there and you saw something that proves me that it is still as rambunctious as it's ever been, 617-779-0985. I do know, however, that I would like for you to reach out to Tim from the Dropkick Murphys, because Friday night there was a story that came out. I don't want to pull the audio because Ken Casey got in a fight with somebody in the crowd.
It was being violent towards a woman.
Yeah, and so when the video first came out, you didn't know, if you weren't at the show, why Ken Casey had this bloodied face. So according to the story, he's yelling at somebody who's in the front row who apparently is harassing somebody in the crowd. He says someone was being extremely violent. And then as he starts yelling at the guy, somebody, if not him, threw a bottle from the crowd and it smashed him in the face. And that's why his face got so bloody. And that's why, of course, he went after the guy in the crowd. And eventually, you know, it made it on TMZ and the tape was everywhere. So now that originally nobody kind of knew what the deal was, just the pictures and the video that were released after his face was bloody. Nobody saw what was leading up to it. And now that Ken Casey's kind of, you know, made a statement on it, I wouldn't mind having him or Tim on this morning to find out exactly what went down.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not I'm sure it's around the 100th time someone split his face at a show.
Well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, even one of the guys in the band was being interviewed, and he said, you know, this kind of stuff happens a lot. And they knew exactly how to deal with it afterwards.
Yeah, and Al Barr, you know, was in these hardcore bands before, which I'm sure were exceptionally violent shows.
Well, Al went up on stage afterwards and was like, when we have a show, we're essentially inviting you to our home. So right. If someone's a jackass in our home, we're going to kick them out. And I just, and once again, of course, everybody outside of Boston's like, yeah, typical Irish, look at the Dropkick Murphys, funny thing. But I mean, you throw a bottle at someone's face, that's some serious jail time, my man. Like, I mean, that's not just like you're going to put in the drunk tank and you're going to be let go. I mean, That's assault right there. It's not even punching a guy. You shatter. And I hope that Ken's face is all right. He's pretty damn bloody.
I think it's fine. Ken Casey, the Pat Dolan of, not Pat Dolan.
Who's James Dolan.
The James Dolan.
James Dolan with justification.
Sure. All right. Your thoughts if you were over at the St. Patrick's
What did
Day
you
parade.
See? Prove to me it, that it's still
is,
insane.
Is Rich wrong, or is it not nearly as insane as it once was? 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And there is this, Aunt Becky is in a lot of hot water. Aunt Becky not invited back on Fuller House.
Oh, boy.
She's been dumped by the Hallmark Channel.
Woof.
And her daughter... How her daughter... Okay, so this is this college thing where everyone paid $500,000, even though they're rich as hell, to get their kids in some school where they wouldn't even need it because their parents are so rich. $500,000... What the hell difference is it if you go to USC or if you go to Loyola Marymount? Like, if what... Really, what are you getting?
Better parties, maybe?
Didn't it, like, used to be the old-fashioned way where if you had money, you just donated it to the school for, like, a new wing?
The Thornton Mellon rule.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. Back to school. You bought like, a wing of the library.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, magically, your son or daughter, who is an underachiever, gets into the school.
But why? Like, okay. Tell me the advantage it is for someone to pay $500,000 to get their kid into USC. What possible reason is there for that? I mean, these people are all have enough money to pay $500,000 in addition to go to a smaller school. What the hell difference does it make? Dude, if you're not going to post grad work, what does it possibly matter to you what college you get a degree from?
It's because I guarantee you it's a lot of these parents don't want to accept the fact that their children are academic failures. And I guarantee you it's more about the parent saving face than it is about the education of the child.
Because college is pointless now because there's only one set of ideas that are taught. I mean, there's no actual debate or at any other... I mean, you're appealing to the most sensitive child every time that you have a lecture. They don't let people with opposing thoughts on campus. So really, the whole what? I guess so. You can say they go to USC.
Yep, that's. I'm telling you, because you heard that girl talk, the daughter of Aunt Becky. She was like, when am I even going to go to school? I hate school. It doesn't mean anything to her. Her education, she's been having a life of privilege. She's handed everything.
She had 1.5 million Instagram followers.
Yeah, she's an Instagram influencer. You know, so she doesn't want to go to school. She doesn't want any of this. It's all about the parents saving face, because if she couldn't get into a college, they would obviously feel very embarrassed. And all it is this more for the parents than it is for the kid.
But she has been on the Hallmark Channel. I mean, that trumps everything.
They dropped her, indeed. I know.
I just don't... So the kid went to USC. What does that get you?
You know what? You know who kind of got it right? What's the name of the kid who played Bud Bundy from Married with Children?
Faustino.
David Faustino. Did you ever hear the story about how David Faustino's parents, while he was on Married with Children, said something about, like, he, like, put down somebody who was working at a fast food restaurant or something like that. And so his parents said, all right, here's the deal. We're going to make you work at a fast food restaurant for 3 months, and we're not giving you any of your money. It's while he was under 18. We're not giving you your allowance until you work at a fast food restaurant and realize what it's like to work a real job for a living.
Oh, yeah. I told you my kids are going to work in the service industry.
Without a doubt. Every kid. If you go through life and you don't work some sort of job where you are either service, retail, and you're somebody that the lowest people will go and try to push you around just to learn that everything's not handed to you for a living. Parents that just completely skip that step of a childhood, I think, it just makes for bad adults.
But you have to learn how bad people suck and try not to mimic their behavior.
Well, without a doubt. And you also, on top of that, have to learn that, you know, when you go into a place and for some reason things aren't moving, like you go to order a burger someplace and things aren't moving as fast as you want it, sometimes you realize it's not their fault. And you empathize with the people behind the counter, and sometimes scheduling problems, or they didn't schedule enough people, or sometimes you notice that some guy is taking longer than you, or didn't bring your correct order to the table. Sometimes it's not their fault. It just gives you a lesson in not being an a-hole if you're on the other side of things for once.
And maybe if it is their fault, what do they care? They can just go across the street and get another job. That was my thing when I worked retail. I was like, you fire me? All right, great. I'll just walk next door.
That is hysterical. I didn't have that in me. I just didn't.
I quit all the time.
See, I always was afraid that my boss would not like what I was doing. I never wanted to be fired.
Nah, I didn't care. There was another one down the street.
Well, you'd worked like 18 different jobs, right?
Yep. I picked up the golf balls at a driving range. I washed dishes. I worked at numerous restaurants.
What was the average length of employment, like from high school to college for you?
Oh, high school to college?
Yeah.
Because after college, I kept that job at Jocks and Jill's.
Hold on, Rich. Let's do an over-under.
Like,
let's
average
do Price
length?
Is Right. Price is Right. Go ahead.
I'm going to say a month and a half.
I was going to go.
That's bold.
I was going to say 2.5 weeks. I was going to say 17 days.
But then you hardly even get a paycheck.
I know.
You got to work in a place like a month and a half before you get your first paycheck.
I say 17 days.
No. Because then I've only not gone through training like once.
Okay.
And that was at the Ground Round. And the guy was so happy that he was firing me. And then I said,
I said,
it's okay. I had to go back to school in Florida in the next week anyway. and he was so, like, just went into a melancholy state that I wasn't going to freak out about him firing me. Oh, yeah. That's the way to go. You just go get fired.
Dude, so what's the average? What's the answer?
In the summers, not when I got out of school. In the summers, a month and a half. Month.
There you go.
Probably month and a half.
Fred, I was so afraid of pissing off my bosses. They asked me one time if I wanted to come in before school. I was not in high school. Come in before school and open up for an hour the subway and sell sandwiches to people going to school. And I said yes. So I literally worked from, I got there at 6. Store was open by 6:30. I worked till 8 and then went to school.
Well, we've had my friend Migdal on before. We sliced it fresh at the blimp. And so I would slice the meat when I was making it for people and eat the meat out of my hand. We'd lock the door, but like 15 minutes before we were supposed to close. And then people would get mad, and we just laugh at them. I'd give my friends, I just gave them all free food. I worked at a grocery store one time, and we were not scabs, but they thought we were scabs because there had been like a strike, and then we had gotten our jobs just as the strike was ending, but they assumed that we'd been working there for a while, but we hadn't. And we would see how many shopping carts we could stack on top of one another, and then we would hit it with this shopping cart. It was 10 cents deposit on cans, and there was no way to like for them to check it. So I just like give my friends $100.
Oh my God.
And at that restaurant, they paid us to leave. They gave us a $100 bill each and told us to leave, me and my friend John.
What?
Wow. Yeah. They just, because they
didn't get that job.
Oh, I had that job for 2 weeks. The guy literally came up to us with $100 because he didn't want to go through the bookmaking. And he just came up with $100. Was just like, all right, leave. And that's how much I got paid.
How many name tags did you have just collected?
Oh, God.
You got to have at least a dozen.
I never got through TGI Fridays when it came down because I walked out of training.
You were never button man, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because the guy said, there's 7,000 glasses. And he goes, and if you put a mudslide slabber dabber into the wrong glass, all hell will come down on you. And I went, okay, I think it's time to move.
That's what you left.
I think I'm not dealing with 75 glasses for some stupid drinks at a crap restaurant. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the Brinks truck out. They know that.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Denver Nuggets back in town with Isaiah Thomas tonight. But their coach, Malone, as plans on keeping the rotation smaller down the final few weeks of the regular season and had explained the rotation to Thomas, who he had previously coached in Sacramento before the game. Oh, you definitely talked to him about the decision, and I'll keep that conversation between IT and myself. It's not an easy conversation, but that's my job.
Well, he was a coach's DNP, you know, kept him out of the game about, I think it was 5 days ago.
Yes, and I think that the
last three games.
From what I understand, Isaiah Thomas is not part of the rotation anymore, that he very well could not play again for the Nuggets.
And this is not something, it's a weird position that the Nuggets are in right now, because Isaiah came back from this injury about, 3 weeks ago. And when he got back, he was unspectacular to bad. And a hip injury is one that obviously is incredibly difficult to get back to zero or get anywhere close to where you were before you had it. And so they're in a position right now where, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the West, the Denver Nuggets are right now, they have the second best record, the 2 seed. So they can't jack around. They don't have
one game. They're one game behind Golden State,
which is amazing to me, because is this like the quietest great season that a team is having this year?
Yeah.
Like nobody. I mean,
the Western Conference always seems like a foregone conclusion. Golden State's been in the finals, for the last four years in a row. They should have won 4 straight titles if they hadn't blown that 3-1 lead against Cleveland. So even though Golden State is going through the motions this season, everyone just assumes they're going to win.
And, you know, a hip injury, just because you're dancing to the Brian Setzer Orchestra, doesn't make it necessarily a hip injury.
They're listening to the Stray Cat strut? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, they're getting hip.
This injury had a beard and a craft beer?
It was the Sugar Pop and Dandies.
It's a hipster injury.
You get it?
I got the hip. I'm trying to save you, and I don't know how to do it.
I knew what I was doing. I was staring into a wall. You don't have to save it.
I'm going
to
be sitting alone by myself this afternoon. I'm going to laugh out loud at that.
No, that was a deliberate crash. You don't have to tag it. You don't have to do anything. Get back to speaking.
So, yeah. How? Please, you continue. Because I don't know how to do it.
I don't know, Daddy-O. Maybe I'll try. Let me get my brush. Let me get my comb.
The Brian Setzer. You just spit straight.
Jump driving well. I know
Brian Setzer.
Cats. Okay. So I pictured Isaiah Thomas was dancing the Brian Setzer Orchestra, maybe right. Swing dancing.
Right.
And he broke his foot. All right. Yes. So Isaiah Thomas is coming back. Now, is there expected?
Are we?
I don't know.
All right, I apologize. So is he expected? Is there like going to be some like tribute to him?
So he very wisely came out and said he doesn't expect any kind of tribute, because I mean that whole thing. The one thing that we can say about Isaiah Thomas is that he was loved when he was here.
Sure.
Except there was that horrible, unfortunate timing of when he was going to return. It was also Paul Pierce retirement night.
Yes.
Retire his number. And I remember when Isaiah Thomas kept talking about wanting to have a tribute. And, like, he just lobbied for it, essentially.
His statement was, it's only a small part of this. It's Pierce's evening. I would only take up a small part of it.
I just remember going.
And Pierce went, uh-uh.
Yeah. Hey, Jackass. Paul, listen, you were amazing. And for a season, you were, I mean, lights out. Something that they'll talk about for years.
See that banner up there?
That's Paul effing
Pierce. That one's
mine. Right. So stop. So I think he very wisely kind of said, well, that kind of backfired on me.
But it's also. So something that, like, it's not really in good taste to start talking about how you want.
Right. And he even, I think he learned his lesson, because he's come out and said that, no, that's not, you know, he doesn't expect anything. And he's probably more than likely not going to play tonight. However, I guarantee you they are going to have some sort of tribute to Isaiah Thomas tonight.
Sure.
There's not one
now
question
that
in my mind.
Now that the smoke is cleared, I think you will absolutely see a tribute video for him tonight.
And it will truly stink. And it will be like, it will be one of the saddest things in the NBA outside of somebody like, you know, like just as far as a career going from MVP caliber that year to not playing anymore, if for some reason this is it. And I don't believe it is, Fred. And I know you said you read something that somebody was speculating on Deadspin
that this it would be over for Isaiah Thomas. I don't think that's the case. And it's unfair to say that when he's getting back from this horrible injury. And I think if he has an offseason to work on it, he could be somebody. Now, will he ever be a starter again? I don't think so. Now, that I'll give you. But I think he could be a scorer off the bench for a team.
If he gets healthy, he could be a starter on a and score okay. Well on a bad team.
But you would agree that when he was in Boston was having that success, it lined up perfectly for him.
Sure.
Because his supporting cast weren't they didn't object to being.
Yeah, the next best scorer on the team was Avery Bradley.
Right, and so Avery Bradley didn't mind.
No.
You know,
Bradley's thing was to run off of screens and catch and shoot. He yeah. wanted nothing with pushing the offense.
Right.
He was more a defensive player.
So he really can't go to a team that has, you know, stars. I think even if he comes off the bench because he's just a volume shooter. And I don't know how he gets around that.
There is part of me that is interested in. Like, I wonder just if he's being misused. And I know he's been injured, but when he has been in, how much of that was how much of Isaiah Thomas' success was Brad Stevens, and how
That's
much of it
key.
Is the natural talent?
That's been the history. I mean, you've seen a lot of players leave this team and not do nearly as well. I don't know. Isaiah has that unique skill set, though. I mean, you can't. I don't know how much of that is coaching, where Brad Stevens just gave him the basketball and said, go do things. I mean, I don't know.
No, and he had teammates that deferred to him.
Yeah.
And I mean, so that's
as I said,
exactly
if you're
what you need.
You put him on a bad team with a lot of players that don't need the basketball, he will score at will for you. We saw that a few years ago. But and I still maintain if he were ever to come back to Boston, he wants to be here so bad. He knows the atmosphere. He knows the coach. You know, he could come back here and maybe subjugate the way he plays a little bit and maybe change things around. But you're right. He has a unique skill set for a unique type of team.
Right.
And it's a very special kind of skill that only fits with a very few teams.
Yeah, Boston's too good.
I think you may be right about that.
Well, the one thing I do find...
But if you're a team that needs bench scoring, and look, you don't have much of a bench because you paid all your starters and you're strapped against the cap and you need an impact player off the bench, and say guy comes in and say, here, go score 10 points in 5 minutes, you're going to sit down again, maybe that's Isaiah.
I just think that every chance he gets, he basically begs to be back on the Celtics and how much he loves the Celtics. And if you do believe that the Celtics wrecked him and had him play through injuries that, you know, he may or may not want to.
Well, there's no doubt he did play through injury. The question is, who do you blame?
Right. Is it Isaiah saying, I'm playing. I don't care what the doctors say. I'm playing. Or is it the Celtics saying, you know what? Our doctors have looked at you and they say you're okay. Because remember, after that season, didn't they fire their head? Was it Lassert?
The trainer.
Yeah, their head trainer?
They changed things a year or two ago, yeah.
I think it was after that season. So things kind of line up to make you think there's some smoke that maybe part of this is the Celtics' fault. I know that there's obviously players that think that because of the whole Anthony Davis' dad situation. But one guy you would think that would have the biggest grudge against the Celtics would be Isaiah Thomas. You heard that clip I played at the beginning. You know, bring back the Brinks truck. And now all of that is gone. And wouldn't you be completely bitter towards Danny Ainge and everybody else, right? But but on every chance he can, he praises the organization and how much he would love to be back. So that's the only thing as far as there being a strange untruth that's out there about how everything went down with his hip.
All right, so we will.
Speaking of hip, we have some cool bed music we can play.
Daddy-o.
I mean, it's a hip to be square.
I'm just getting a bunch of pictures tweeted to us of car crashes. Saying the Toucher and Rich show right now. Joke.
Sometimes when you give a zinger like that, you know, people can't handle it. All right, here, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.